The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
The budget tomorrow week, next Tuesday, we'll find out for certain what's in it. Though at this stage, we've gotten used to all of the pre-budget leaks and the kite flying. Neil MacDonald is with me now, though. He's the CEO of ISME, representing, of course, at small and medium enterprises in this country. Neil, you're very welcome to the show.
Evening, thanks a million
for joining us. So what are the kind of the key challenges facing that sector, small and medium enterprises, that you think needs addressing in the budget?
Well, I was listening earlier when you had the hospitality industry represented here, and their woes would be similar to a lot of the service sector in Ireland. And not to get too geeky at you at this hour while people are still in the cars, but those businesses typically suffer from a thing we call the Baumol effect or cost disease. And in simple English, that means they don't have a great ability to generate more sales or more revenue, but their costs are increasing. At a certain point, individual businesses snap. And that's what we've been seeing throughout the year. So we want to see that recognised by the government. Do not make the situation worse. We do feel that government has actively intervened to increase costs both for business and on a knock-on basis for the consumer, because when you put up the cost of childcare, when you put up the cost of eating out and food, when you put up the cost of nursing homes, ultimately the consumer has to pay. We want the government to stop that. But then we also want them to recognise that Ireland is critically over-dependent on a very small number of FDI firms. And it's not just the corporation tax that gets all the attention all the time. You know, it may be at this stage close to 50% of our PAYE, PRSI and USC is, or close to it, coming from 0.2% of companies in the country. And we've been saying it for years, but government has to start focusing on expanding indigenous enterprise.
So how do they do that in the budgetary process?
They actually do it by getting out of the way. So
in what way are they in the way then? Maybe that's a better question.
And again, Kieran, I know you've covered, for example, the cost of housing and accommodation till you're blue in the face. Prior to the great financial crash, we had an abundance of very affordable rental accommodation. And we did that because we had an accommodative tax system. We had things called pre-63 bedsits. We had Section 23 that made it affordable for investors to get involved in the provision of private sector accommodation. That was all done away with. And you know, that got a very bad name. But what caused that financial crash was dangerous lending practice. It was not the fact that the Exchequer encouraged the private sector to get involved in accommodation. So we bet the ranch on institutional investors. And in the last 6 months, you've seen institutional investors follow private landlords in saying, we are not interested in Ireland anymore. So, you know,
so too much tinkering in the market.
Too much tinkering in the market, like Father Ted repairing the car for the raffle. You just end up with a situation where you have a complete wreck. And that is what has happened to our housing market over the last couple of years. And that is directly responsible for the really significant wage demands we've seen over the last couple of years. We're not saying they're not deserved. We perfectly understand how people have a difficulty affording to live here when daft media is telling us that the average rent now is in excess of 1,900 euros a month. But it doesn't have to be that high.
Yeah, so that I guess that's the balancing act, isn't it, for government, is that, and this is the point Pat Crotty from Vintners did make earlier, is that, you know, on the one hand, nobody would deny all those increased input costs for businesses. At the same time, the reality is that a lot of those low wage workers, they're themselves dealing with increased input costs, as it were. If you imagine them as a small or medium enterprise, you know, their electricity bills have gone up, their grocery bills have gone up, their rent continues to go up. And the only people they can turn to for an increase in income are the employer.
And that is the problem. And unfortunately for those people, and this is, these are the uncomfortable conversations employers end up having with employees at this point, is we know a lot of those workers in the service industry, in restaurants, in hotels, in childcare facilities and nursing homes are under the cosh from rent or a purchasing point of view. But for a lot of those businesses employing them, This is not the difference between paying them an extra 20 or 30 euros a week. This is the difference between them having a job and not having a job or having to go elsewhere, because those businesses are price controlled in the case of childcare businesses and nursing homes. They simply can't, they're not allowed by government charge anymore. And in the case of hospitality and other services, the customer is saying, I've had enough, I'm not paying anymore.
In terms of what do they call it, CPD and training, there's kind of money in a training fund that I know some others have their eye on. There was a story in the Business Post at the weekend that the third level education sector had their eye on that money. What should be done with it?
That,
give it to the universities?
You're trying to rile me now, Kieran, I think. But
they want it.
They do. And I know that some people might look at that.
Must be another housing estate in Limerick they're looking to buy.
It is easy for people in the academic sector to look at that huge amount of money that's in the National Training Fund and say, that's money that could easily address, you know, the funding crisis in the university sector. We know that the third level sector requires extra funding. We're absolutely appraised of that. But, you know, our education system at the second and third level is actually very good. And the OECD statistics prove that. In PISA scores, Ireland is right up there at the top. Our university system has been slipping down the rankings over the last few years. We've no universities in the top 100 in the world. So we know that sector needs money. But where we really need the effort is the OECD say that our adult training, our the training levels among our adults, the problem-solving ability, mathematical ability and numeric ability are at or below OECD averages. Now, that is not where we want to be if we're trying to sell a knowledge economy to FDI. That 2 billion or nearly 2 billion now is absolutely not in law designed for training third level students. And I'm saying that as someone who's just sent a child into the NUI 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
That's to be spent on adult training. That's to be spent on lifelong training for adults and trainees and people in the workplace.
The government, by all accounts, are going to be dealing with a 20 billion euro surplus. Now, that's lump and Apple tax money on top of it. So a 6 billion surplus plus 14 billion euro from Apple tax. They put about 8 billion into kind of equivalents of rainy day funds last year, because they had such a sizable surplus again. Beyond kind of, you know, getting out of the way of small and medium enterprises, as you describe it, and letting them get on with their job of work, what would you like to see them do with that money, or with some of that money, in terms of future-proofing the economy in a way that benefits your members?
A lot of it, in truth, and people aren't going to appreciate hearing this, but when you have an economy that's at capacity now. We're attracting in labour from abroad because there are jobs here. Effectively, everyone who wants a job in Ireland has a job. There, you can't actually go about spending that job, throwing money at the problem now. Realistically, if we throw more money at the HSE, are we going to get more results out of it? No, we're not. We actually need, at this point in our economic cycle, to spend time and attention on efficiency and effectiveness and getting value for money. At this stage, unfortunately, we don't have any more builders to activate within the economy. Those few builders that are available in the small business sector that we represent are telling us they can't get money for projects because those projects have too long a lead time. They're going to be waiting too long to get paid, so they just can't get in there. So we're going to have to address some of the, rather than just throw money at the problem in budget 2025, we're actually going to have to set out a timetable for spending and say what government is going to need to prioritise those projects over the next number of years.
Well, we'll find out what the government's priorities are tomorrow week, to be precise. Neil MacDonald is the CEO of Ismenia. Thanks a million for joining us here on the show.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4. on News Talk.